Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat is 724 and a quarter, down 19 and three quarters. Soft May, 659, down 17. May corn, 493 and a half, now a quarter, down six and three quarters. December, 498 and three quarters, down two and three quarters. May soybeans, 1464, and they're down 11 and a half. November, 1201 and three quarters, down one and three quarters. May soybean meal, 472.30, down 7.80. May soybean oil, 41.73, up 6 cents. April live cattle, 144.22 and a half, down 92 and a half. Now they're down 90. April feeders, 178.17 and a half, down 65. And April lean hogs are 123.40. And they are down 235. They were down limit a little bit earlier this morning.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Let's go ahead and check in on a few news stories. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says that countervailing duty and anti-dumping anti-dumping case that U.S. sugar producers filed March 28th against the Mexican industry risks unsettling negotiations with Mexico over removing barriers to other U.S. commodities. That includes potatoes and beef. Vilsack told the House Agriculture Committee that the case was ill-timed. Vilsack said Mexico tried to respond to U.S. producers' concerns by diverting 700,000 tons of sugar to other markets that would have otherwise gone to the United States. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, it is a market that feels a little heavy to me today.
Yeah, you know, the agriculture commodities have started out this second quarter off on a profit-taking footing after a really strong first quarter, and I think it's important to realize that if you're a producer right now, because I think it puts the technicals very much in play, especially given that we had some really friendly news for the corn from the acreage standpoint, and we had pretty friendly news for the wheat as well, with the weather both on their side for the most part as well. But notice that the trade this week has pushed back and said, we're going to go back to buying beans and selling feed grains, and that's usually not a good indication from a standpoint of the funds. And so the charts are very, very important as we close out the end of this week, knowing that we just got 2 to 3 inches of rain, a lot of the eastern Corn Belt.
So as we're looking at the charts in the May Composite Daily, yeah, I would think we wouldn't want to see a close under, what, 1461, and then as we look at the November, maybe that 1198 area.
Yes, exactly. 1460 is kind of the Berlin Wall for the Eastern Bloc at this point when it comes to the bean market. And the July Nov bean spread looks very close to putting in a double top today as well with the turn in the front end here since we've gotten on the air. I think the other thing that we'll want to watch is the July wheat. I know that people are talking about weather about 7 days out helping the winter wheat belt, but I find that kind of odd to say let's go ahead and price in something when you know the models aren't very accurate after day three. So I think this is more of a technical fund-related, probably dollar-related and dollar-yen-related move down in the wheat. It's technical right now, but it could really start to unwrap itself if the May wheat in soft red would go below a 38% retracement level of 658, because that would also take out your 200-day moving average right around the same area, 658 to 659. So I'm inclined to think the wheat is near a short-term bottom here because of the fundamentals, and we still have pretty good strong demand, even though the weekly export sales were about 27% below the four-week average.
And the corn charts look similar to the soybean charts in their formation. on the May 1490 and maybe on the December 1492 to keep an eye on?
Yes, exactly. And I think here again, the spreads come into big play because the July D's corn spread, something I think is a good spread to be in a bull spread mindset, given the tighter cash pipeline that we're experiencing, the fact that Eastern Corn Belt producers probably are in no mood to sell any old crop corn at this point, and given that the acreage number was friendly, I would suspect the July D's corn spread would work much more into a premium to July versus the December if we would see the cash basis start to turn on and the end users start to pick up the ball and want to pick up some demand here or some supplies here from the producers. But notice the July D's corn spread is back to only a penny over. Mm-hmm. So we're really close to going back to a carrying charge in that corn spread as well.
A week ago today, we had the quarterly grain stocks report. To that, we began to put into it what implied ending stocks would be. We'll get WASDE's word next Wednesday. Off of the last week's report, what are the implied ending stocks and what would constitute a surprise next week?
Well, we're not going to get 14-15 ending stocks until May, so I don't think USDA is going to give us much next week. If I remember right, I thought their 14-15 stuff doesn't come out until the May report.
Right.
But if they would, I would say you're on track for about a 270 to 275 carryover in the beans, and you're on track for about a 1.7-1.8 carryover in the corn. And I'm using a 160 yield and a 44-44.5 yield in the beans to get to those numbers, Dave, and still pretty good demand. I think one of the things that really troubles me, and it's something we've talked about ever since last winter's meetings that you and Todd had, mm-hmm. had done, is, you know, we still have this mindset going back to buying beans and selling feed grains.
Right.
And I think it's mainly because the trade has got these tight U.S. stocks to rely upon, and the funds do as well. But I think that time's really coming to an end. And this morning, probably the biggest news out there is that China is going to stop temporarily taking U.S. pork imports, they say, because of PED virus. I think it's probably partially because of that, but I think we're seeing the signs of wear on China's demand in three or four areas now when it comes to their ag sector and their overall economy. So I really get nervous about that meal chart when I see stories like that, and that makes me get really nervous about new crop beans.
Well, it is their pork sector, which is sort of on the tip of the spear whenever you talk about whether or not their economy is meeting their target GDP growth, and I think they want 7.5. And so it's probably not surprising if their economy is slowing that pork is something on the tip.
Exactly. And a week ago today, I think I was talking to Todd in the afternoon commentary, and they had talked about and released a news wire that they were going to go ahead and bring in more pork for their reserves, for their state reserves. And so you probably had an inkling that something was going on a week ago that they were willing to do that, because typically they want their market flush with pork supplies, because typically their pork prices are what drives their inflation up to where they don't want it to be. So when they buy for their own state reserves, it really does say they have an oversupply. And now you add this to it, and I think we really got to start taking a step back and thinking about maybe the model that we've used the last 10 or 15 years on soybean demand isn't just like the growth model in GDP that you bring up, mm-hmm. that we used to use for the last 30 years. Maybe that's not the same model for demand we should be using for beans either. And I think it's going to be something very hard for us in ag to break off of that reliance.
About 30 seconds or left. Will traders trade weather, knowing very well that we can put half the crop in a week?
I don't think they'll trade weather if the technicals go. And what I've talked to clients about, Dave, is to work really hard on hedging up if the technicals, the weekly charts, the Dow Jones UBS Grain Index loses its support line. Take it at face value, get hedged up, do more cash side sales in the beans for new crop. Stay mostly with paper, especially in the corn, if you're especially in the Eastern Corn Belt, because these models are going to flip all over the place. That's what my primary consultant is telling me right now.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics. December corn, 4.99 and a quarter, down 2 1/4. November soybeans are 12.02 and 3/4, down 3/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.